couple more friends that are not here yet.
Sunshine this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and study more about your servant Peter. We pray that as we study and as we worship this morning, we would do all things as you would have us to do them. Please help us to have a fruitful study in this class and all the classes that go on this morning. We thank you for this church and the leadership, and we pray that we could be more like your son each day. Please forgive us when we sin and help us to do our best to correct our mindsets and to return to you. And thank you for Christ, and it's through him we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. So correct our mindset. I like your word there. We'll get into that here in just a minute. So thank you for the prayer. And today we're on lesson 5. So I don't know if you have that. You can go ahead and get it out. I hope you looked at that and maybe thought about some things and answered some questions. We're going to jump right into a very interesting story. Transfiguration. What in the world does that mean? Is that a word that you use every day? Have you ever seen anything transfigured before? You know? So we're going to jump into that here in about 4 or 5 minutes. But first, I want to start with this. So, where was Peter and Jesus in our last session? That's the very first question, I think, that it asked. So where were they?
Just on Caesarea Philippi.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Caesarea Philippi, however you want to say that. They're still in the same place. And in the last section of our class, can anybody tell me what the story was about in one sentence? Or two. If that's too hard, I'll take two sentences.
Jesus basically told the remaining of the apostles that they're going to have to sacrifice themselves for the cause. And Peter rebuked Jesus, but then Jesus is like, "People have been Satan."
Yeah. So this is the one where Jesus rebukes Peter. So, and it's basically redirected by Jesus. And that's what kind of reminded me a little bit of what John said in his, you know, prayer. I think, you know, Peter realized he was doing something not good here, and he had a choice to be redirected and move in the right direction. So, Peter has many highs and many lows. We're going to go through them in our class. That's what, you know, this is all about. So, just reread this. This is where we were, Matthew 16, 21 through 24. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So, in lesson 3, section 2, Peter is given the keys to the kingdom. Remember that? That's a high. Man. Of all the people that are walking on the earth, Peter was chosen to be handed the keys, so to speak. And we talked very well. John did a great job telling you all exactly, or teaching us, you know, kind of what that means. That's a big deal. And in the very next section of our lesson, Peter's rebuked and called in opposition to Jesus. Those are completely different, right? A high, and a really high, if you will, and a really low. All right within a short span of time. So since this class is about Peter, I wanted to take a minute and maybe discuss, what do you think Peter's state of mind was at that time after he was rebuked from Jesus? Very shortly before, hey, this is awesome. God believes in me. I must be doing something right. He must be thinking that what we're doing here is positive. And then, boy, turn on a dime, Satan. Call him Satan. Can you think of anything that anyone could really call you that's worse than that? Can anybody think of anything? So one minute, you're great. The next minute, you're not. So what do you think Peter was thinking at this time? What do you think his state of mind was? Good, bad, I don't know, questioning, solidness, faith? I'll open it up to your thoughts. There's not a wrong answer, by the way.
I think he might have felt ashamed. Because when you mess up, a lot of the times what you feel is shame and regret for your actions.
Okay, that's a good one. Ashamed, yep.
I wonder if he's left a little confused, especially because his idea is still based on the traditional Jewish thought that it's going to be a physical kingdom. And mm-hmm. he's like, wait, what's going on? I guess I don't really quite understand what was happening.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, I'm sure that Peter or anybody there really didn't understand all of this, because in general, everything's physical, right? And so that's another reason, as a side topic, I think, you know, Jesus talks a lot about, you know, you have to be, think about the Spirit, you have the Spirit, because that's completely different than what everybody or the world is trying to grab onto or trying to talk about, and how they look at everything. So you're right on, thank you for your comments. Do you think he held on to the negative thoughts of the moment, or maybe wallowed in the sadness or despair over this disappointing situation with Jesus? Kind of like what you said, he kind of was ashamed. Do you think he held on to it? Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever had a really bad day? Have you ever had where you studied and studied for a test and you got a 46? Has that ever happened? I'll raise my hand, you don't have to. Man, it happens sometimes. How did you feel? How long did it take you to be like, you know, this chemistry lab is just killing me? You know, I got a 46, I studied for 7 days, I had a study group, I did this, I stayed up, I drank my Starbucks before, you know, the test, I was all ready to go, and 46. So were you ready for that next chemistry lab 2 days later? Was your mind there yet?
John? You just made me think of this. In America, we live, I guess our motto is, you can do anything. And so when you come to a point, like, if you've been told you can do anything your whole life, and you come to a chemistry exam like this, and you try hard, you study hard, and just, it's pretty humbling. And I know I've experienced that in my life. Mm-hmm.
So we've all kind of gone through something like that. It might not be a test, you know, it might be a game, a soccer game, a track and field where you've been training, you know, for the 100-yard dash, and you thought, man, in practice, I'm beating everybody here, and you come in sixth. You know, whatever it may be, it happens. So what I'm hoping to paint here is, and I think I'm going to touch on this a lot, and, you know, spoiler alert, as they say, I think this comes out a lot in our class. You know, Peter is just like us. Peter is us. And at least for me, I need to keep reminding myself of that. Sometimes we say, apostle, disciple, you know, they're just awesome. And here's me. Man, you know, if I could just have seen these things, if I could have just been there, if I could have done these things, you know, I would be a better Christian. Here's Peter. Here's us. He's just like us. Let's not forget that. So he probably is down. He probably is a little defeated, a little... everything was going well, you know. Let's flip that coin. Has anyone ever disappointed you? Remember, Jesus was disappointed in this situation, true? I would think that's a fair thing to say, right? How long did it take you to let those things go? Has anybody ever, has a friend ever stood you up? You all supposed to go to Skeleton's Lair or something like that. All seven of you. And before you know it, only three of you showed up and the other four ditched you. Or one of them didn't show up or something. Like, hey, where you at, man? You were going to be there. We talked about it for weeks. And they weren't there. Something as simple as that. Your friend ever disappointed you? Has a friend ever hurt your feelings? You ever been hanging out at a party? Or went to a social place just to watch a football game? And a friend pulled out a beer? Or something like that that you're like, man, that really disappoints me that that's there. Friend ever done that to you? Maybe not specifically, but you can see all the different things where a friend could have disappointed you. Did you let that go? Obviously, on a side note, there might be some things that need to be addressed if your friends are doing something illegal or, you know, those things. So just kind of go with me here. But did you let it go? You know, that probably held on with you for a little bit, didn't it? Maybe in the back of your mind, but it depends on how close of friends you are. You know, how quickly that went away. True or false? Got where I'm going? Well, I'm not sure what the answer is for you, but you probably had something like that happen. But I know that Jesus didn't wallow in Peter's stumble, because he's right back in the fold and he's right back teaching him things. He called him the worst thing, recognized him as one of the worst things possible, and he's right back in it to win it with Jesus. So Jesus knew that Peter was a major part of God's plan, and this disappointment didn't derail everything. Jesus kept him right in there and knew what he would ultimately do and kept going. And you're going to see evidence of that here in a few minutes, but I just want to touch on it while we're kind of talking about these things. So the second question on our lesson, how many days between what this happened and the transfiguration that we're going to talk about in the lesson?
6 days.
6 days. Any other answers?
8 days.
8 days. Any other answers?
6 to 8 days.
Yeah. 68 days. Incorrect. It's either 6 or 8. 6 or 8. Wow, that's interesting. Did you know both of those answers are correct? Wait a minute. There should be just one answer, right? There's a difference between 6 days and 8 days, right? Is there a difference between 6 donuts and 8 donuts? Yeah, I know the difference because I run out of donuts quicker, you know? There's a difference. Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. Those are the three passages that everything we're going to talk about today is about. So a minute ago, we talked about how Jesus must have put Peter's mistake behind him, as Jesus took only three disciples up on the mountain. Only three for this epic event. One was Peter. Now Jesus could have, let's go ahead and I'll hopefully all agree. We've all generally read this lesson, and if we didn't do our lesson, we know what the transfiguration is, true? So, to call something epic, you know, this fits. A lot of time that's misused in our society. Oh, that's the most epic cheeseburger I've ever had. No, it's not. There's going to be 1,000 made right behind that, and that's just in this one restaurant. No, it's not that good. It might be good, but it may be wrong. Transfiguration, seriously, this is a big deal. Jesus could have chosen anyone to go witness this, and that was part of it, I do believe, as part of his plan to have witnesses, to be able to tell of this to us for generations and generations. One of them was Peter. Oh, by the way, he's the guy he called Satan not too long ago. So Jesus put it behind him. Jesus knew that he would take it right and he would learn and grow from it. Kind of like what John said in his prayer. And again, we didn't plan that, but we need to pray for a lot for ourselves to do things like that, just like Peter. So this story is described in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we're going to read all three, but I want to consider one thing before we do. If you do not have a writing utensil, raise your hand, because I need to give you a pencil. Does everybody have one?
We have one.
You say you, oh, you got one? Okay. You got one?
I don't
know. You go weird, didn't I? Anybody else? You all good? Got something right with? John, you got something right with? Okay. Now, what goes with something right with? Something right on. So if you'll take this. Just a minute.
You want to collect in these?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Nope. We're not collecting. Don't have to put your name on it. Everybody can quit being nervous really quick. You got the extra results. Go take it from me. Okay. So, before we go to the next slide, I just want you to know that that's all I need to tell you for right now. Are you ready? Probably not. One day, a panda became the ruler of a purple and blue galaxy by riding Phineas, the white shark, for 10 million miles across the galaxy at half light speed. Panda had only been an astronaut for 7 months and accomplished what no squirrel or raccoon could ever do. Space is now changed forever. 3, 2, 1. What the world just happened? What just happened? I'm in Bible class. I came here, we're going to talk about transfiguration. And next thing I know, what does this have to do with anything? What is this? What was on the screen?
T-shirt.
Well, hold on one second. Good answer, but hold that. So I want you to know, I'm going to ask you all 10 questions. So make sure on your piece of paper that you have room to write the questions. All right? Ready or not? What was the first word I said?
Can you repeat the story?
What was the last word I said? That's question two. Question three, what animal was riding a shark? What type of animal was riding a shark? Number four, where were they? Number five, what color stripes were on the outfit? Number six, what was the name of the white shark? And you get bonus points if you spell it correctly. Number seven, what did Panda accomplish? Number eight, the picture was printed on what? Number nine, what color dresser was in the background? Number 10, how many knobs were in the picture? So I'll let you gather your thoughts real quick.
Is this one of those tests where you get a 46 on?
I didn't think about that angle, but that is a pretty fun thing.
I'm glad we're 46, I promise you.
So this is what we looked at. So let's go over the answers. So as you get these right, make a check mark next to it. We're going to go over it. So the first word I said was one. One day. The first word was one. The last word I said was forever. What animal was riding a shark? Panda. Where were they? In space. What color stripes were on the outfit? You can hardly see it, but it's red and blue. I'll take red because it's not showing up, but on my screen it's blue, red and blue. The name of the white shark, does anybody want to say, tell me? I think you had it because you were acting really, like I know what it is. What was it? Phineas. Now how'd you spell it?
Like that.
Like that? Bonus points. You get one extra point. All right, anybody else spell it like that or get it right? There you go. Bonus points for all you guys. A lot of different ways maybe spell Phineas. Number seven. What did Panda accomplish? What no squirrel or raccoon could ever do.
Yeah, I kind of want to fight on that point.
Okay.
You clearly did say at the beginning that Panda went 10 million miles at half flight.
Yeah, that's why I put it 10 million miles at half flight.
Then you talk about the squirrel and raccoon.
Now you're bringing up something very important that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But it's the actual comment was, and accomplished what no squirrel or raccoon could ever do. Panda had only been an astronaut for 7 months and accomplished what no squirrel or raccoon could ever do. I'll give you a point on it. Go ahead and give yourself a yes. But the key word was the accomplished. You have a question?
Yeah, well, number four, I thought you said like a purple and blue galaxy or something then at one point, but I guess I missed the space part. I don't know.
Yeah, so give yourself points on that because that's basically the same as well. Okay. Yes?
Can I get a half point if I
put it? Hey, look, time out. If you're going for it, go for the full point. Okay, so ask for the full point. Okay, the last 6 seconds didn't happen. Okay, go.
What no squirrel could do. I forgot the raccoon.
Okay, half point. I go with that. Okay, yes.
Technically on number two.
Technically.
You said 3, 2, 1. So I put 1 as being the last word you said.
Okay, that's true. You are right. So if you said forever or 3, 2, 1, then or 1, then that's fine. Man, correcting me on my own stuff. That's good. So number 8 is, what was the picture printed on? Great t-shirt, shirt, take any of those. Give yourself full points if you have any of those. Number 9. What color was the dresser in the background? White. How many knobs are in the picture?
4.
1, 2, 3, 4. So you might be still, okay, so one more piece to this. So how many did you get? If you got 3 right, raise your hand. If you got 5 right, raise your hand. 6, 7, 8. 8? How many did you get?
I got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9.
So you got 9? 8?
Yeah,
8 exactly? Okay. Did you get 8 exactly?
Good job.
8. Okay, so the highest is... You too? Okay, sorry, I just didn't see. I got the wrong answer. Yeah, 8 and a half. Does anybody want to fight for 0.25 of a point and then take over the lead? So you got 8 and a half. Good job, Evo. Invisible high five. Or time distance high five. Good job. 8 and a half. All right. So let's see. Which ones did you miss?
1 and 10.
Yeah. Okay. And which ones did you miss?
1 and 7.
1 and 7. Clearly, I need to redo 1.
I missed 9 and 10.
9 and 10. Okay. So how about... So we're looking at this, and there's a lot going on, right? I mean, there's a ton going on here. Let's back it up one more. There's a lot going on here. It's a shirt. It's a dresser. They've got nice hardwood floors. Where are we? What kind of hangers are these? Did they just get a TJ Maxx? Is that the kind you get there? You know, what is this? A gray shirt? Is this Kelly's shirt? Where did this shirt come from? Oh, and by the way, let's talk about the obvious. A panda riding a shark? Who does that? That's insane. That's crazy. That's not possible. That's not possible. Let me say it one more time. That's not possible. A panda can't ride a shark in space, but here it is, right? The panda sticks out. The space sticks out. The shark sticks out to me. Those are the big pieces of the story, right? So we can all agree that those are maybe three of the big things, right? Panda, shark, and space. Is there another thing I'm missing that's a really major thing to this picture?
The dresser.
So, okay, the dresser. So we can agree on four major things of this story, right? But, you know, let's do that. Let's move forward with that. So we can agree on four major things. Okay. So some of you might still be sitting here thinking, like, okay, I still don't know what the world just happened. Like, we're in Bible class, we're talking about pandas and stuff, and dressers, and half points, and you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, I don't know what this is all about. So this was something to let you know this. For those that read the lesson, which disciples went up on the mountain? Peter, James, and John. The Transfiguration full story is only in three places, which we talked about. This exercise was to show you a small piece of how they felt whenever they went up on the mountain. They didn't know it was coming, just like you had no idea that we were going to talk about pandas, or take a quiz, or be confused, or have to listen. You had no idea. They had never seen anything like it. Anything like it before, true? They've seen him do some great things, but this was completely different, right? Have you all ever been to a Bible class and talked about a panda, an astronaut, and taken a quiz about it? Never before. And at the time, they had no idea what that meant. Just like when you guys, why are we doing this? Why are we taking a test? Why is he asking me if I've got something to write on? You know? What's interesting about it is you were all here, you all saw, and you all heard the same message. The picture didn't change. It was the same picture. My words, I only said them once. You all heard everything that I said. But you all picked out different points that you chose more important or impactful or vital to the story. Hence why some of you got 5 right, some of you got 8 right. Some of you, we had good discussion on what words I meant or not. Right? Everyone had their own point of view. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are no different than you, as they remembered different pieces and different angles in their story. So as we read these, which we're going to do in just a minute, I want you to understand this is normal human behavior. And in case I don't say it in a minute, this is God-inspired. He wanted them to put their own flavors into these stories. And stories is not like, you know, a mythical, maybe I should say events. Their description of events. I try not to use the word story. Sometimes story sounds like it's a false or made up, you know, fictional thing, and it's not. So if I do that, I apologize, and y'all know where I'm going with that. These are all slightly different. If you read your lesson, they're all a little bit different. But they were in the same place. God's will is that they share their own flavor of the story. This is what I want to get at. Don't let the differences make you doubt. Sometimes if you hear 3 or 4 different answers for something, aren't you a little confused? Which one's the answer? Is it 6 days? Is it 8 days? Is it 7 days? Is it 7.5? You know, what is that? Don't make the differences make you doubt. I choose to look at it this way, and I hope you would too, is make the differences prove it more real and genuine. God's inspired writing, it was His will to do it this way. So I don't know if you ever thought of things that way, but that's how I'd like for you to think of what we're getting ready to do today. So there's the answers. If you want to check yours again before it goes away, I can't promise you I will never talk about pandas in class again, but for today, this is the end of the pandas. Panda Park, Panda on the Sharks. So let's talk about Matthew's version first. Does anyone volunteer to read Matthew 17, 1 through 13?
I can read it.
Okay.
And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? He answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist.
All right, so Matthew. So he says it was 6 days. Peter, James, and John, his brother. And this is the only one where, of the three, that says his brother. None of the other versions give that extra point, give that extra angle. Face shone like sun, clothes white as light. As we look at all these, notice how they all have a different description of what white is, or what that brightness was. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. Peter says, Lord, it's good we are here, and then asks about building three tents. Voice from the cloud. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Tell no one until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And then the final couple passages, it talks about how Elijah must come. And it adds that they understood that from him, the translation, that was John the Baptist. At no point does Jesus say, hey, guess what? When I say Elijah, that's John the Baptist, you know. There's a little spoiler alert, let you guys know what that means. But in this one, it says that when he said that, that's what they thought it meant. That's what they understood it to be. And before we get to the other ones real quick, these are like the highlights I pulled out. I probably could pull out two or three more things, you know, about the story. So let's go to the next one. Mark 2 through 13. Can I get a different volunteer reader? Okay.
And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to be Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. And they asked him, why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come? And he said to them, Elijah does come first to restore all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him.
Yeah. Thank you. So, same 6 days. Very similar. Peter, James, and John. I've got to click this, do this here. Notice how the clothes or the transfiguration is described a little bit different. I really thought this was interesting. Clothes radiant, intensely white. Like the intensely white, on a side note, just reminds me of if you went to the grocery and tried to buy some toothpaste, that would be a flavor or a version you could get is intensely white, you know? But this is what I thought was really interesting is, like, if these two weren't good enough, like, that's pretty descriptive, right? They go on to say, no, you don't understand. When I say intensely white, I'm talking about no one on earth could bleach it any whiter than that. You know, that's what that extra level is like. To me, that means I'm trying my hardest to explain this to you. This is so great, and I just want to keep talking about it. I just want to keep telling you, know that you're still not there, whatever you're thinking, because it's even better. It's even more. And by the way, have you ever bleached anything before? Have you ever accidentally bleached something? Have you ever gotten like a drop of bleach like on a green t-shirt and it's like this big, you know, thing? It's not just, like, let's just say it was a green t-shirt. It's just not like lighter green, is it? Dude, it's like white. Like, it sticks out, right? No matter what color it is, it sticks out. When you bleach something, it goes really white. They're saying as no one on earth could even make it that white. And again, this is like them trying to describe it. Their viewpoint, their eyes, what they saw. Elijah and Moses were talking with Jesus. And this one, one thing I don't think I put it on here, but if you look at all three versions, whenever Peter talks, Peter, the first word is different. In this one, he says rabbi. In the first one, do y'all remember what it said? I just know they're all three different. One of them is master, one of them is rabbi, and one of them is something else.
Lord.
Lord, thank you. They're all three different. Rabbi, it's good that we're here. And actually in one of them, I can't remember off the top of my head, I put it in here because I didn't want to go like too sideways, but I'll mention it. You know, Peter says, let me build three tents. Or I will build three tents. I can't remember which one it says. And the other two, it says, let us. So in one version, it almost sounds like Peter's wanting to do it all himself, you know? But maybe that's a little mincing of words on something. So anyway, on this one, it tells you that Peter said this, and it says, as opposed to the first one, it didn't say anything like this. Peter basically, he had no idea what was going on. He was so scared, he just opened his mouth and something fell out because he was terrified, you know? Which, that sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Voice from the cloud, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Tell no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead, and Elijah must come. Notice, no John the Baptist, anything, right? So even from these two, can you see a little difference? Okay, so we're going to do the third one. I'll make I'll be rounding third and coming to home on this one with my points for the day. So Luke 9, 28 through 36. Can I have a different volunteer reader for that one? Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet, and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen.
Thank you. Thank you to all the readers. I appreciate you doing that. So in Luke, about 8 days. So before, what did it say on the other two?
Six.
So this is about 8, is what they say. Peter, John, and James, they're in different order. Don't know if that means anything, but they're in different order. Face was altered. So we're assuming, you know, because the other stories, that's transfigured. This is the only version that kind of says what that is. True? Clothes became dazzling white. Again, another toothpaste flavor, dazzling white. And you know when y'all get toothpaste, next time you're going to walk around, if you see dazzling white, you're going to laugh your heads off, because that is funny. Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus about Jerusalem and what he is to accomplish. This one, they gave a little bit more. You know, kind of like in the very first one, they talked about, you know, the brother. That was a little extra sentence, right? This is a little extra. That's what they were talking about, or that's what they were discussing. In this one, it says, Peter was heavy in sleep, and when fully awake, he saw the glory. Master, it's good that we're here. Three tenths. And he said this not knowing what he had said. Kind of like the previous one. You know, he just kind of fell out of his mouth. Let me click through these. I got to talking. Okay, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And Jesus told him to keep silent, and they told no one. And in this one, they didn't say anything about Elijah or John the Baptist. Like, that part's kind of out a little bit. Any comments about the three versions before I move on?
I do wonder, so Matthew and Mark were more targeted towards a Jewish audience, and Luke was targeted towards a Gentile audience. So I wonder if their calendars were different, and maybe that's the reason for the discrepancy in the days.
Now there's a lot of, okay, yeah. Like
just an idea.
Yeah. And then one thing that, you know, I don't know about you all, but like, in general, I'm exact. You know, either I made it to work on time, or I didn't, right? You know, either I got an A in the class, or I got a B. I didn't get an AB, right? There's no such thing. Has anybody ever got an AB in a class? No, you either get one or the other. And so if we look at it this way, you know, 6 or 8, you know, there's two different numbers, right? Those can't coexist. But how many times have you said something like, well, okay, we're going to Chick-fil-A tonight. By the way, don't go there today, they're closed. But let's meet Chick-fil-A tonight at 7 o'clock. What time do you want to meet? Oh, about 7. So what's about 7 mean?
6:45 to 7:15.
Something like that. Yeah, that's the official answer. Yeah. But to some people, if I say, you know, let's meet at 7, and I get there at 5:00, they tell me I'm late because you should always be 10 minutes early to a place. Do you know what I'm saying? My point is, people have different ideas about what time is and what things are. And he says about 8 days. He didn't say, at the stroke of midnight, it was exactly 7 days. Like, this is just a generalization. So I don't want you to think it's like, he got it wrong,